Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Five Aside. Your boy Dalu, I'm here with Sam today. Sam, don't you?
Happy New Year, my bro. I've been moving up and down, traveling. I just got settled back later on than this weekend. So I'm back now. I'm back in the habit, back in the schedule, back in routine.
It's glad to have you back, you know. Did you enjoy Dirty December? I'm sure. I saw you. I was living vicariously through your Instagram stories.
Yeah, I was here, there, and everywhere. Blew all my money. Now back to Gary life. But it was worth it, though. The experience was worth it.
So. Blew my money on other things. I'm also experiencing the Gary life.
That's fair. January is always very cold.
Recuperating.
Yeah.
Yes, well. No better way to recuperate than by enjoying football, at least. But maybe today wasn't so enjoyable, I would say.
No, it was not.
It was half and half.
For me, it was terrible. It was a very bad footballing day. After this episode, I'm going to go and sleep. Sleep very early, like there's no point.
You definitely deserve some rest.
I've had a bad footballing day, man.
Let's start with the Nigerian disappointment, at least. I don't know whether it's harsh to call them a disappointment, because I guess in some ways they gave me some joy, this AFCON. But yeah, today was not it.
I feel like, so let me first put my overlay on the Nigerian national team first. Before I dive into the game. So, everything that the Nigerian national team is currently doing is an overperformance, right? And okay. It's an overperformance because of the state of the NFF and how incompetent they have been for years. They have crippled all facets of Nigerian football. And you can even go into other sports as well, athletics and what have you, like from the women's and the Super Falcons to the Eaglets to like under 16, under 17, to every facet of Nigerian football has been crippled by the NFF right now. To even beach soccer, like they have been woeful. And the Super Eagles as they are, I mean, we've seen Iwobi's vlog and the hotels they've been and stuff has changed. And even them going on strike in this tournament, because of bonuses, unpaid bonuses, the Nigerian national team is overperforming because the NFF, it has been woefully incompetent, terribly incompetent. So let me get that out of the way. Congratulations to the national team. They are overperforming. Based on the situation that they are in, they they have been overperforming. So that out of the way, okay. can get to today's game. I do not think that we played well enough to win. That's not to say that Morocco played way better than us to win either. I think they had more shots. I think they had like 14 shots or two or so or something like that. But I can only remember one or two semi-clear chances that they had. They were not as much as they were having shots and whatnot. It was just more effort. They were not carving us open.
I wouldn't say they created any clear.
Yeah, they didn't even. I remember two shots, right? Yeah. That were like speculative. But they themselves too weren't really creating anything. It's going to penalties was a fair result. The game going to penalties was a fair result. Now, there's a problem I have, and I've been noticing it with Eric Chell. He has done okay, relatively well so far. But I really, really hate his substitutions late in the game. I don't like his substitutions late in the game. And I thought that when we played Congo, we had defenders taking penalties. Like Calvin Bassey was first up, sky the thing, right? Yeah. I thought he had learned from that by bringing on attackers to take penalties. Fair enough. But I don't know why Akko Adams was there as long as he needed to be. He was on the wing at some point. You should have brought in Chukwueze.
He was having a terrible performance by the standards.
He was having a terrible performance and he should have been off. I don't get why Chukwueze did. When you bring attackers to play penalties, right? One of the things you do is actually you bring them a bit early to touch the ball, yes, right? So that they get warm. Yes. You don't want them just cold start, take penalty. Like, some of them are good enough to be that, like, or not actually tried, right? But it's you're gambling. You want them to be a bit warm, and then they take those penalties. Another thing is, why are our defenders the ones stepping up to take penalties? You have the former African player of the year in that lineup. What number of penalties did you want to take? Number four, number five? Or what were you trying to do there? Why is Ademola Lookman not taking penalties? Why is Iwobi, a former winger, not taking penalties? Not to say Iwobi has been magnificent this tournament. I'm not criticizing him based on gameplay. But why is Oyemachi, a left back, the one stepping up to take penalties? The fourth penalty at that, critical penalty. Why? Sure. Why is Moses Simon, a winger,
like a defender shot?
Like, Bono had even left and he came, just stretched hand and tapped that ball. That's how bad it was. Like, why? And okay, granted, Onoachu scored his penalty for Osimhen. But my guy, why does it seem like you're always ducking the smoke? If you're not there, who is going to be there? Like, what are we doing here? Why is a left back taking penalty? If not that Calvin Bassey missed that one against Congo, he would have probably been in the first five to take a game. Why?
This is almost unforgivable when you think about the fact that we experienced the exact same thing.
Like, that's why it's annoying me, because we just saw that. We just saw that like 2 months ago in November. We just saw that. Why are center backs and left backs and right backs taking penalties when we have a plethora of attackers in that team? Why? Why is that happening? Like, Chukwueze, God, I don't know what the heck that penalty was. Right, that's probably one of the worst I've seen.
I can't even see it again.
I can't even watch that scene again. But I can blame him, because that's his job as an attacker. Fine, he was supposed to be there. Why is Oyemachi taking penalties? Why is it number four to take the penalty? Moses Simon, that is where armband is there. African Player of the Year is when he's standing there. You used to fight for penalties in Atalanta. You were fighting for penalties in Atalanta. Why are you not taking a penalty here? What is the meaning of all this? Like, why are we doing this? Okay, now, how do you want me to insult Oyemachi now? Like, what do you want me to say?
So sad, because he's had one heck of a tournament.
Yes! How do you want me to insult Bassey for missing penalty against Congo when he has been outstanding the whole tournament? Why are you making me ask these questions? On your fucking resume, see me the whole Niger passport. On your fucking resume,
You are an attacker. Why is a left back taking a penalty before you? If not for God, they would have allowed Semi Ajayi to take penalty there. Why? Those guys should only be playing when they've exhausted the first 10. Like, why are we doing this? Every time, these Morocco man, they were scared of those penalties. They were frightened. You could see it in their
face. They were frightened.
Guy!
I wrote on the group chat, like, history might be against Morocco today. But this was their first penalty shootout win in AFCON history. That's crazy.
You have to be kidding me, man. Every time. That's why Niger has the highest bronze medal in this tournament. Because every time we reach where it's time to do the business, we start doing rubbish.
So sad.
Start doing rubbish. Let me get to the referee, right? We did not create enough. We did not play well enough. But neither did Morocco. It was they played marginally better than us, but they were not really doing anything. The referee was abysmal. There were no major. You don't need like major incidents, right, to have a poor game. You don't need like, oh, it was supposed to be a penalty, then you didn't give it. He had a terrible game. There was not one yellow card given to Moroccan players. Like, literally, I saw Brahim Diaz pull back somebody. That's a cynical yellow. Just give him your yellow and go. Didn't even give him.
For the yellow card Bassi got.
Yeah, like the yellow card Bassi got. What was that?
You know, you said, like, yeah, we didn't create a lot. And I agree 100%. And I actually agree that a penalty shootout was probably deserving based on how the both teams play. But it just felt like every single time, like, we won the ball to start a counter, he blew the whistle.
He always did that. Which is why I'm not, like, giving Morocco, like, not... There are games that...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You are like, okay, these guys played better than you. Congo played better than us when I watched that game.
100%.
Yes.
100%.
These guys, they were pushed to play better than us. If you don't give a yellow card, these guys are not wary of the counter-attack. Like, there's literally slide tackles I'm seeing that they were doing on Osai Samuel. And I'm like, guy, that's a simple yellow. You have to give them these yellows so that they're on their toes. When you give those yellows, they start becoming wary and they drop back. And when they drop back, there's more space for us to operate. But if there's no consequence for their actions, then they are not worried. And that's why they can keep getting away with what they want to do.
Yeah.
Every single time, the referee was terrible. And I used to think this Niger-Ghana beef, na banter. I don't know whether that idiot took it personally. Like, what was that?
Hey, God.
What was that referee performance? That was abysmal.
I'm not trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but it really just felt...
felt like that. And I'm like, why are you doing this? The linesman, South Africa. I say, there is no hope for us this tournament. Like, they just went to pack all our enemies and put one side. Like, why are you doing this? Morocco do these things and they get away with it. That allows them, that gives them the confidence to keep doing what they are doing. But you are not penalizing us for what? Why did Bassi get a yellow card? For waiting. For what? That put him out. They should also get rid of this stupid thing that they are doing. Like, we are not in early 2000s anymore. Why would a player get a yellow card to miss a final?
It's so silly.
Why are we the only tournament that does that? This is not 2007 or 8. Like, so, get rid of that crap. What is that? When people reach semifinals or so, everything cancels.
You clear everything.
Yeah, everybody does that. Why are we behind on that? Why would a key player miss a final because of silly yellow cards? Now, assuming we went to the final now, we'll be without Bassi for no fucking reason. We're without Ndidi today.
And that, I wanted to point that out. I think that hurt us a lot, honestly. I think being without Ndidi, I didn't get to see the free-flowing Iwobi I saw in the past couple of
weeks. At some point, Iwobi was playing
middle, CDM. And that stifles him.
100%. It's not the same Iwobi I saw in the last game. It just felt like the old Iwobi I was seeing. I was like, guy, come on, get further forward. Try to, you know, do some, make something happen. But he was having to drop so deep. I think this guy just has stage fright. Nyeka or Yedika.
Oyedika had stage fright.
He just has stage fright. I did not.
I kind of felt that was going to happen because Nigerians were like, it's fine, we don't need Ndidi. Like, Oyedika is there. Oyedika is there, yes, because the talent is enough to be there. But he's not. This is where the experience comes in. I know, like, people say it and they throw it around and we don't think it's worth much, but, like, that experience is there. Like, Ndidi would not have stage fright in this game. Like, he just wouldn't. Like, he really just wouldn't. Oyedika, yes, I think the future is his, but it showed why he's not been a starter yet. Maybe moving forward, he will be. But I didn't like what I saw. The referee's decisions were beginning to, like, affect. Like, you could see them. And I felt like with every negative decision, like, Morocco was moving forward. Like, they
kept using more momentum.
Yes. Well. And
one sequence I saw where they literally, like, dragged us back. This was in their own half.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to take a quick... We went to, like... I thought they would blow a foul for us to take a quick free kick. The referee said, no, it's not a foul. I was like, what the hell? Then Morocco got the ball and Nigeria got it back and they committed the same type of foul. Same foul in our own defense. I was like, are you fucking...
The guy... That's why I'm saying, like, it was... Everybody thinks a poor refereeing performance is, like, there was one big call he did not make or he made. And he changed it. No, this guy was encroaching on bad, small. Like, I literally, the one that pissed me off, there was this guy, this number 7 guy, right, that came in for them. He missed their penalty. The only one that missed, forgotten his name. And I think Osayi Samuel was on the counter-attack in extra time. And he went to beat him with the ball. The guy slid and didn't get anything on the ball. Like, slid, Tufuke cleared the guy, right? I'm like, okay, that's surely just an easy yellow. Like, just an easy guy. You're not supposed to do that. Like, nothing. I'm like, this has been happening the whole game. Like, there is no consequence for these things. And that's why these players are doing what they are doing.
The skill move by close to the close to the throwing.
Yeah, that he did.
From, like, use the brought his right leg and move the ball to the side of the leg and he tackled the guy.
Yeah. I'm like, what is going on there?
That was bordering on ridiculous at that point. That was bordering on ridiculous.
The guy was just doing, he was doing this one of the worst refereeing performances I've seen. And it's not very obvious, unless you're Nigerian, right? To the neutral, it's not very obvious that it was a bad game. Like, he was doing it slowly, like, just agreeing to the crowd, to Morocco, to just, like, they did not have one yellow card in this game. How, Sway? There was one that shocked, that blew my brain. It was an extra time. The one that Osimhen, like, tried to control then, like, raised his leg. Then we crossed the ball. And then I think Hakimi cleared it out for another corner.
Yeah.
The guys clattered into Osimhen. They gave a foul for Morocco. Corner, they don't carry the corner come out. I just saw Morocco playing goal kick. I'm like, where did this foul come from? Like, he's the one, like, what am I seeing here? Like, they just took the corner away, like... Nothing again. I'm like, why?
I feel like,
why are you doing this?
Even if you're not, even if you're a neutral, I mean, like, that Basti one, the one you mentioned earlier where he cleared him, bro.
There were multiple.
Those are egregious. Like, you can't tell me anything. Like, nah, that's one of the worst referee performances I've seen.
Ever seen. And I know it sounds biased because obviously Niger, but like, I feel like Nigerians, right, we're in a very interesting place with our team, right? We are very honest about everybody, right? Because we criticize them a lot. If we're hyping Iwobi, right? It's because we have slated this guy for years.
100%.
Yes. 100%. There are people that are anti-Osimhen, that are Nigerian. Like, every day, they are against Osimhen.
I had people attacking me on Instagram because of I was praising Iwobi's creativity.
Guy, I'm telling you, like, that's how we are. So, if a Nigerian is telling you that, Omo, this referee is a criminal, like, this was a bad game, I honestly think you should believe us because we give everybody shit in this. Like, nobody criticizes the national team more than Nigerians. And I think that's why these guys I know I don't have enough information. I am very sure a lot of these players are ducking the smoke. I can't put it past Osimhen that he's ducking the smoke in this penalty.
The attackers.
They are ducking the smoke. Ademola, if you are in Atalanta, you are arguing with Retegi and whoever for penalty. Now you reach here. Why? There should be no reason why Ademola Lookman is on the field and you're not the first person taking the penalty.
African best player.
Guy, African player of the year. There's no...
Osimhen leaving the field.
Imagine. Why is Osimhen leaving the field? Guy, I don't even need you to run again. Stay and play that penalty. Why can't we... This thing should have been... That's Onoachu substitution. Should have been one midfielder again. Remove another midfielder or remove a left back. Send Iwobi to play right back for 5 minutes. Send him to play right back. Put another attacker and play those penalties.
Our shooters should be on the
field. All your shooters should be on the field. Osimhen should be there. Onoachu should be there. Moses Simon, I mean, they've subbed him. Even Chukwueze. Let me focus. All your attackers should be on the field. Why is Bruno Yamachi taking penalty? The fourth penalty. Why? Why is a left... Damn, bro, but why is a left back taking a penalty? Like, why? Why is he one of the first? Is he? Does he have a history of being the one of the best penalty takers in the team?
Normally, you know that first, fourth, fifth penalty, your very
best players
should be taking
that it. Number four should have been either Moses Simon or Ademola Lookman. If Ademola Lookman is not number one, why were you not there? Why do you duck the smoke?
When Bruno stepped up for that fourth one, I was like, guy. Maybe he's really, really good at it. I don't know. Like, what? How I was.
I don't. You know why I don't agree? Even if he's the best penalty taker in the team in training, right? Ademola Lookman has it on his resume.
Yeah, he does.
Is your profession. If Oyemachi should even take a penalty, he should take the first one and miss it. Maybe no say he don't come out. He shouldn't, me personally, he shouldn't even be like first five, but that's okay. Why are you Africa's player of the year? Like, I know, like, yeah, you clash with Osimhen and character and stuff like that. But my guy, where's everybody rich? That would have in a don't die. You are a Niger man. Hold this ball and go and play this ball. What are we doing here? What was your trophy for?
I'm very surprised actually about Osimhen, given his personality and like the status. This is literally like akin to Messi being subbed in 90 minutes before.
Guy,
for Nigeria.
Guy, Messi has paid his dues. Messi has paid his dues and missed his own penalty and cried his cry.
Yes.
And that is what football is all about.
Yes, nobody's going to kill you.
Cry your cry, they will abuse you like this. But you reach a certain stage, you don't give a shit. Go and do it again. Go and do it again and again and again. It's okay.
Doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good for his legacy. He's always ducking the smoke, bro. Why? Okay, how could you have stayed on till 117 minutes, then you left at 3? Guy, don't even move again. Just stand the offside for me. Maybe play with 10 men till we reach that penalty shootout. 117 minutes, you could make the penalty shootout. Like, why are you ducking the smoke?
If you are injured, then ask to be solved in the second half.
Yeah, if you are injured, you shouldn't have... That's good point. Yeah. That's my point. If you were injured, you shouldn't have made it this far.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't have made it this far. Why are you ducking the smoke? Who are the leaders of the team, if not you? Is it somebody else go do them? Why are they leaving responsibility? First of all, Trust Ekong even playing our penalties back then, right? I understand he's good at it, but that should not be the case. They should not be the... Like, Ronaldo, no Dayfield, may even Fernandez, they take penalties safe. And Fernandez is very good at penalties. Like... You are the African player of the year. You are the biggest name. You are the biggest bird on the team, man. Like, they should not be. Etono go Dayfield. Jemba go take penalty. Why?
I can't come up with any names like that. Like, that actually did what Osimhen just did. Like, I can't even come up with.
Like, they are like any big country.
Eto, Lewandowski.
Drogba will play that penalty and miss, and we go home.
I can't even think about it.
Nobody is.
It's really weird.
Saka is not even that good at penalties. Penalty for Gyökeres. Saka is not that good. And he's there fighting. Like, he missed penalty that...
England wanted to cut his head. He still did it. They argue for penalty. I don't think he's that good, but he no go agree. And that's how it should be. My nigga, how can you be denied? My brain. I see my nine. Headache. Guy, he will never dog that smoke. That smoke will not pass him by. Look at my nine. My nine, they do like he injured. He did that thing against Congo. When he left, there was no attack again. We just look useless. Guy, stay there and die. We only need one leg. Stay there and die. Demola, you have two legs. Your own is even worse. Demola Lukman, your own is even worse. You have two legs. African player of the year is to be wearing Agbada and be playing Bonner Boy on your IG when you collect the award and be a woman. Every fucking time we are supposed to do something like to dull the pain of this lack of World Cup going thing, your job was very, very simple. Talk this man out.
It's so painful. Both Congo and Morocco gave us chances. They missed.
That the Congo one was even worse. I think they missed like three. Bro. The Congo was just begging us, like, I beg, just go now. Go. Congo, they be beg, they just they beg. Congo were like, we have issues in our country. We don't want to go. Congo beg us till they say, all right, fine, we'll go. Since you don't want to go.
Like you don't want it enough, actually. You clearly don't want to be there.
Look at Morocco, like, man, Senegal should just pipe them, I beg. Just cool 2-0 for me, I beg.
I was so confident. After that first penalty, they looked nervous. And
they were scared.
The crowd was quiet. Like, they were quiet, bro. I actually texted, yo, history is not my going outside. Like, I know.
I think I was the only one that the history was coming to bite me the other way. I just that's why I put in the group chat. I just remembered, now we get bronze pass. I've been to the semi-finals more than everybody.
I don't care about the bronze anymore.
Nobody cares about who cares about that now. Who cares about the third place match now? Who cares about that?
Cool, man. I think really we did look the same. We've been such an attacking force this season. I think you pointed it out in Akan's interview. Playing two in the midfield like actually helped a lot in getting the best out of Iwobi. I think that like indeed his presence especially. That deep line rule, the calmness and everything.
It allows the man to be free. Do you understand? 60-something line-breaking passes in only like 4 matches. He was doing it for fun. He was doing it like Zidane, they watch him. That Algeria match, they went, come, share I go reach this guy when I did play. like, that's how good he had been. For these guys, for somebody like Iwobi, right, he has gone through the whole phase with Nigeria. Insult, then we start seeing his worth. Type. Like, he has gone through the cycle. The only thing that is left to crown it all is to be a trophy. Same as Osimhen. Osimhen, for me, has performed for Nigeria, yes. But I think in legacy games, he has ducked the smoke, man. He has ducked the smoke.
Especially in moments like this, like PKs and everything.
Every African legend has had their time to like not duck, like to not run. Some of them have not been successful. Salah has not been successful, right? But he didn't run away. Drogba was not successful. He didn't run away. Yeah. Yaya Toure was successful. He did not run away. Eto was successful. He did not run away. Like, Elhaji Diouf was not successful, but he too did not run away, right? Mane has been successful, and he hasn't run away. And he's still here, still fighting. Like, everybody has that game. And Osimhen, guy, even if na penalty shootout, guy, don't go. You're 20, what, 26, 27. How many more AFCONs do you have? How much time do you have at the top level before your body starts giving way? Don't run. The coach wants to sub you. Tell him, coach, hey,
we talked about last time about Osimhen in like crucial like times that require calmness and maybe composure. I feel like he actually low-key struggles, like one-on-ones. He's very, very good at like when things are moving fast-paced action, scoring the quick header, throw his leg, throw his body. But I feel like penalty shootouts or moments that require those calm, composure, one-on-ones, I feel like he low-key struggles in those kind of moments.
He definitely does. And he still has time.
Yeah.
He still has time. And maybe that's something he needs to work on. When he gets to those times that he needs to, like, you know, he needs to, like, lock in and be a calming presence. Unfortunately, he hasn't done it as of yet. He hasn't been able to, like, he hasn't been able to deliver in those times. Like, when the game is slow. When it's tournament football,
yeah,
like, in any sport, slows down in critical moments. Like, if you watch the NBA is always fast. But, like, when you get to, like, the playoffs, deep in playoffs, everything slows down. Same with, like, football. Like, when it gets to, like, the knockout semifinals, like, the games now become grinding. You are now supposed to, it's more about the result than the mm-hmm. performance. Which is why I don't think that's, which is why I can't fully say Morocco, like, outplayed us. We just got into tournament mode. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's, like, I saw it even in our build-up, right? In our build-up, typically, with Bassi, Ajayi, then the wing-backs, the full-backs are flying. And, like, but this game, by the second half, you could see, like, all four of them were still in our half.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could still see that these guys were not, and Morocco too, they were not even really pressing us like that.
Shout out to our fullbacks.
Yeah.
Very good tournament.
They had a good tournament. Like, this guy, Bright Osai Samuel, had, like, he had won, like, 10 duels or so already. Like, Calvin Bassi has truly impressed me. I'm so happy for him. The question we need to now ask is, like, where do we go now? Where, like, what next for Nigeria moving forward?
Crazy, man. We
don't have a World Cup to look forward to, where some of our players are in flux. Do we, Ndidi now that is 29, 30 or so, or how do we move on from him? What do we, because we can't carry this squad like this again, right? We have to start.
People like Iwobi and Osimhen probably still have maybe
four more. I think they have like one more tournament at least.
Yeah, I think they have at least one more. I think they can go to the next World Cup. So it's those two. And then, of course, Akko is still young.
Mm-hmm.
Onyedika should be better. I think
Onyedika needs a big move, man, from Belgian League. I think he has to start, if he is to, like, take his place in the national team, he has to start getting, like, more high-level experience. Because his position is very critical.
How old is Frank Onyeka? I'm not sure.
Akoyeka should be like 27, 28.
Yeah, maybe he might still be able to, because he was really good. He's very solid. I think we have a good team. And it's so sad because it looked like they had actually come into their own in this tournament.
Yeah, he's 28. Yeah, he's 28.
Well, we might need to move on.
I do think that we need to make our... We were the most attacking side in the tournament, so that was good. But... We have to find other ways to sustain attacks, man. I don't know whether we need a midfield rejig or we need better wingers.
We didn't seem to put enough crosses for Osimhen in this game. Maybe it's that thing you said about, of course, it looks like both teams were more risk averse and our fullback didn't bomb forward as much as we've seen previously to help, like, deliver good crosses, because Akko did not have his best game at all by any stretch. And I think he should have brought in Moses Simon earlier and Chukwueze as well.
I think they should have brought Chukwueze too a lot.
I'm pretty sure our crossing was probably single digits. I don't remember them crossing that much in this game. And I think that's kind of where Osimhen tried most.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't venturing forward as much as we've seen this tournament so far to help out.
Because he was trying to help out with build up. A lot of times when Bassi was on the ball, he would come as like the dead center back and collect the ball from him just to try.
I hated seeing that. I was like, what is this?
That's why I cannot vex for him, because there was nothing happening, so he had to drop to create.
Honestly, if I did not see the first three games or four games this tournament. Now I see what this was Iwobi from before. Are you scared of going forward? Like, what are you doing here? Like, come on. He said he can't do it. Because I still believe he could not do it.
I think that is because the ball was not like if I think it's more of if I know if I don't get the ball and do it, who is going to do it? Because if he goes forward, right, who is going to spread that pass?
That's true.
The passes that Bassi was giving were very good, but they were diagonals to the, like the fullback or the.
This is almost similar to what Mikel dealt with a lot when he was paired with Onazi
back. Yeah,
pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Pretty much the same issues.
Like we are always like, oh, we need it. But the thing is that I think so. That's where I can't stress this enough. We have to rejig that midfield. I can't stress this enough. We have to do something about that midfield. We kind of had the answer the first few games with Ndidi sitting, and then it will be free to fly. Right now, nobody was there. Now it will be has to come and drop. And if it will be drops, when it will be drops, it's so funny. There's nothing in the midfield like this. There's a big hole, and then there's Lukman and Osimhen in front. There's a big gaping hole. Like,
Lukman is not that type of 10 that would be useful. That
exactly. Yeah. So, like, it was so obvious. I'm like, this is bad, man. And it didn't help that Yedikard, like, was just, he had serious stage fright, man.
I don't know if he's a stinker. It's almost like he was just invisible.
He wasn't
affecting the game
at all. He wasn't affecting the game at all. So, and Franco Yeka is not attacking either. So it's just like it's just very Gary. The midfield was very turgid, man. Like,
you look like old Nigeria, honestly.
Yep. It's also because of that, like, rubbish. Why this guy discovered the back five? I was using our fullbacks as wing backs. What's this guy that came before? Is it Pesero? My former coach before Finidi. Yeah, I think it was Pesero. Yeah. So because the midfield was not producing, so they were trying to gain attacks from the wing backs and then allowing Lukman to be like an inside 10 and all those things. But if we work on that midfield, you know, refresh the defense. I think the defense is fine, Sha, but especially with this boy coming back from injury.
Benjamin Franklin.
Ben Franks. Yeah. When he comes, Sai Samuel is good. Hopefully Olainar can come back and, you know,
still. I feel good about that defense. I feel
I feel like we're good. Do we need to change the keeper?
Today, I can't lie. I can't blame anything on him.
You have to always, your keeper has to give you one save in the penalty shootout. That's the minimum guarantee.
He did.
And he did it. He did it. So he did his job.
He had some good saves in the game as well.
And he had some good, So I do think we should start trying to incorporate Maduka Okoye to compete with him.
Yeah, last time I saw him, I was terrified. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, wherever we're going, we need to find another keeper to compete with. Yeah. There's another guy, I think he's in like championship.
Not Uzoho.
No, Uzoho is my least favorite. There are things I've said about Uzoho that I shouldn't be saying online. Like, there are things I've said about Uzoho that less said the better. Let's just leave that one there. Like, he has tried. Thank you for coming. But that Mwabali needs competition for sure. The midfield needs rejigging. I don't know if we have wing depth, because Moses Simon, this should be his last tournament too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need wingers. We need like proper take on wingers that beat people.
Yeah.
We need a lot
of scouting, going to the trenches right now.
Because I think we have enough strikers between Osimhen, Onuachu, Arokodare, if he ever gets better, Ako Adams too. I think we have enough like strikers, but we need a midfield rejig.
The former Nottingham Forest guy.
Awoni.
Awoni. I keep praying to Arokodare, I can't lie.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I feel we have enough nines. Yeah. We need wingers and we need one all-action midfielder, like one
box to box,
all-action. Like, you know, when you're playing FIFA, you see those attributes, complete
We don't have that profile at all.
We don't have that profile. We need that. Midfield rejig, we need... I can't stress this enough. We need proper wingers, man. We have done this Moses Simon dance.
It used to be a country that produced a lot of, like, wingers, like Moses.
Yeah, because Teslim Balogun Stadium, a national stadium, they haven't fixed it. Let them go and fix it. Let talent come through again.
Like Victor Moses, Ahmed Musa, and Co.
Yeah, we need proper wingers. Chukwueze.
I had so much high hopes for him. I still do. I still think he's good. I don't know. I think he's not serious.
Guy just came up chewing gum. Chewing gum. Like, you know,
that took me out. I took that for confidence. I think we should move on, chat. Let's talk. I don't feel like talking too much about. Good job, Senegal. Money came.
No, close. Yeah, the Senegal one. I watched that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Egypt were trying to defend their way to the final. You could see
that's
that.
So surprising, you know. I watched their first game. One more. I was scared of them after that first.
No, match. I actually wasn't, because I saw them still sitting. They have, like, this bank. They create this great wall of Cairo or something. I don't know what they are trying to do.
It's intensity. Whenever they win the ball, they are counter intensity.
Yeah, because they are a counter-attacking team currently.
But they move forward. They go forward so fast. Like, Mamouche and all those boys, Zizendene, what do they call his name? Like, they are so quick.
But the problem was that Senegal could match their intensity today.
Oh, yeah. Senegal looks much more complete.
When I said this months ago, Senegal is the gold standard of Africa.
They are passing. They look so composed, like, when they are with the ball.
That is the gold standard of African football. I said this. I think they lost on penalties at the last AFCON.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Senegal is the gold standard of Africa.
I expect them to win.
Morocco is good too, though.
They are very good. They are very good. Well, I'm actually surprised how good Nigeria was as well. But Morocco, they are good. I won't say, because of what I saw today, that Senegal will destroy them.
No, not destroy.
I think it'll be a good game.
I think it'll be a cagey affair.
I still expect Senegal to win.
Yeah.
I can still expect them to win.
Me too. But, I expect them to win.
Yeah, Mane's goal was... Oof. Even though I feel like they didn't close him down, because they thought it was a handball.
Yeah. They thought it was a handball. But that was a very good goal. I'm happy to see that Mane can still do it. Even though now he's in Saudi.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's lost a lot of his pace and this thing, but
yeah, he can't be a true winger anymore, man. He has to be, for them he does play that, but he's still delivering. He still has a place in the squad.
Didn't really see much of Ndiaye in this game, Sha. But
Ndiaye is very interesting. Like, he's very, very difficult to get off the ball. But I think he suffers from that thing that I said about, who was it, Eze or so? He doesn't affect the game enough.
That's except about Eze. I know I disagreed. But I think you are very... I mean, hopefully he stops being like that. But I think you are pretty right.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later.
Yeah. I think Ndiaye does that sometimes. Even for Everton. Like, when I watch him, I'm like, do you not know that you are the best player on the field? Like, are you not aware that talent-wise, you are the best player on the field? Play like it. Don't reach an opportunity to take a player on and then pass back.
Yeah,
person you're passing back to,
show up for the ball,
demand the ball. Like, sometimes, right, there's a thing that's in football, like, when you play the ball to a player that is not as good as you in a very hard position for that player, right, you think you've done your job by giving that player the ball, but you have not. You go and collect that ball back from him, or go and run and give him an opportunity to give you that ball. You can't just give Ndiaye, you give the right back the ball, two players are pressing him. If he loses that ball, yes, it will be on him, but it's also on you, because you are the better player. You are better equipped to be in that position. So when you give him that ball, don't just give him and say you've done your job. Go and collect that ball back from him, or go and give him an option. And that's what I see from him, Mike. But I guess
being in Senegal, right, it's not like Everton. There are more players that that responsibility can be around, that can be shared around.
Money for one. Sar is not bad.
Sar is not bad. What's the name of this guy in that midfield, man? Oh my God. It's that tall guy. Is it Diata? So I've forgotten his name. This guy, they play. This guy, they move me when I see him on the ball. It's like there's some ball security I see when I watch this.
They have the best midfield in this AFCON.
I was going to say it was also. Can you imagine? Oh my God.
I think that even when they make their subs, they're always like solid in midfield, especially defensive. I don't know if we are not far behind, child, honestly, with our first team. I think Senegal had the best midfield. I would say we had the best attack.
We did have the best attack, and Morocco had the best defense, so. It was unstoppable force meeting immovable object straight to penalty shootouts.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Is it Papi Gay? Man, guy was moving me in that midfield. I was looking at that midfield, I was like, look at security, man. These boys know the fear.
Nah, their team is solid.
Very solid.
I don't think they've even conceded that many goals. Senegal.
No, they haven't. They've had a very quality tournament.
It's not like it can't be Ganagi. Ganagi is good.
No, please, we know Ganagi.
Is it Papa Gay?
Yeah, I think it was Papa Gay. The one that plays for Villarreal.
Their defense is solid. These guys look like a club team safe. But anyway. Is it time to move on to your other heartbreak?
I mean, that heartbreak is not complete now.
It's not complete yet.
I feel like I've not spoken on Chelsea since like Maresca left. I've not had I've had multiple things have happened and I've not like really spoken on Chelsea. But maybe when we're doing more with Premier League roundup, I'll do that. But I will say that this whole starting from Maresca leaving and all that. If the sporting directors, the board, they've tanked the season. They've practically thrown the season away.
You don't really have much hope for...
The thing is, I've been crying for stability since Poch, right? And I know Poch was not the guy that was going to take us to promised land. I always said that. But you don't understand what stability does for a team. When the same manager is there, like there are repetitions, they are like the process is it becomes muscle memory. The way you play becomes muscle memory. The chemistry and connections you build with the players become like second to none. Like you know your partner's, if it's you're in defense, your partner's like attributes and where they are weak and where they are stronger. When you have the same manager in the dugout, those automatisms just become like second nature to you.
Continuity.
When you chop and change, right? Chopping and changing managers, the first thing that will eventually happen is player power. Mm-hmm. As a Chelsea fan, I've seen this firsthand. The players know that when we lose form, you're out the door. So they can do what they want. Same thing that's happening to Madrid. Then they know that the manager is expendable. They will always be moving mad. But that doesn't happen at Arsenal.
United for years now.
Yeah, that doesn't happen at Arsenal because if the player is moving mad and the coach is moving mad, is the player that we go. And the player will not have to make a decision on whether you want to continue moving mad. But when there's player power, they know that if I move mad, this nigga is gone. So, for instance, now, right? Okay, you have a problem in Maresca, right? You brought him in, yes man. You gave him tools, right? And he didn't complain. Now, one of the tools got an ACL injury. Is it crazy to say that, listen, this is a key part of our football. That number one defender, this is the person that facilitates build-up play for us with a lot of line-breaking passes. I'm not wrong if I ask for a replacement. That's the only thing he asked for. You did not give him that. Find solutions inside. Okay, he found solutions inside. You give him young players, super players. You force him to rotate. Then he rotates, and then they drop points. And then you now blame him for the players dropping points. My guy, I am working with the tools you gave me, and I'm following your instructions. If I don't play these guys, you will complain. Now I play them, you are dropping points. What are you talking about? Why do you want me? Why are you giving me a bad name so that you can hang me? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? We are facing Arsenal in the semifinals of a tournament deep into the season. And you are seeing that Magui is starting. Like you are seeing Magui starting. Chimeuka is coming off the bench for a team that is that has this much money. Are you not seeing this thing? Are you not mad? Like, are you not seeing this thing?
Chimeuka.
That's one of our young strikers now. He came off the bench today now. Like, you are facing Arsenal. Arsenal is a variable. It could be Man City. It could be Liverpool. But you are deep in the semifinals of a competition. Look at what is starting the game. Look at who is starting the game. A teenager is starting the game. He's starting the game. Are you not seeing that this thing is madness that you are doing?
What's dead up? Is he injured?
You say he had a fever. Like, are you not seeing? And even if it was Delap starting the game, in the list of strikers in England, where does Delap rank in Premier League teams? Is Delap better than Igor Thiago?
Apparently, he's better than Gyökeres.
Like, he definitely is. But see now, look at that now. Look at how bad it was that Gyökeres scored today. Look at how bad that was that Gyökeres actually scored today. Like, look at how criminal. That should be a sign that there's something wrong here. That is a very, very glaring sign that Gyökeres is scoring today. If I saw the lineup and I saw that Merino came and Gyökeres came and they tossed a coin, who scored? Who will you say? You say Merino. You say Merino, not Gyökeres. Like,
that's sad.
That's bad. That's criminal. The thing is that sets us back now. You've brought a new coach. Now you set us back at least 1.5 years. Because Maresca had figured out the positions not to put Sanchez in. Right, so now we are solving for problems that we've had answers to. He had figured out how to play with red cards. He had figured out how to play with injuries and, you know, play the right players at the right time and rotating and getting the best out of injury-prone players. So now we are back to square zero and we are solving for problems that we already know the answer to. There was a reason why this guy stopped playing Pedro Neto on the right, on the left, right? But now, because a new coach is here, he has to see it for himself.
Yeah, I also want to point out something else. The same thing, because you remember earlier in the season when you were also frustrated. I saw you on X about Maresca trying to force you guys to play out of the back. And he felt like at some point he got rid of that mindset. And this new manager seems to take on the exact same.
That's mindset. Because he has to. Yes, that's the thing, because he has to see it for himself. Yeah. He has to see it for himself. You cannot, everybody gets a clean slate, right? So he can't just come based on bias. Okay, this guy is not good. They say he's not good, though. He has to see it for himself. He has to go through the process for himself. And with that going through that process, you are going to drop points and you're going to lose games. And these are questions that Maresca had, whether he's good or bad, though, is up to you. That's not my fight, right? But he had figured, okay, when we lost to Man U, very, very simple observation. He was frightened and he did some changes and one of them was based on injury. But then he nuked the attack and Man U won that game comfortably, even when they got their own red card, right? By the next time he found, by two, three more games where there was a red card, Chelsea were not dropping points like that with red cards. A very, very clear indicator was when we got a red card against Arsenal and he did not fear. And he just played like that. And he played like that. So now, if Rosemary, or whoever his name, gets a red card with Chelsea, maybe Chelsea gets a red card now. He's going to bring a defender or another defender or something.
You call him Rosemary, I mean Rosinia.
Whatever they call him, man. He has to go through that process again and see that, okay, maybe no, this team is better when they do like this. He has to learn. And it's not his fault. It's not his fault. Like today now, like because of that team, Arsenal gaining possession. Now, this one is making mistakes. Then the Gyökeres one that he should have just caught the ball. Like, what do you do from there? And then the coach self was trying to do stupid substitutions. You can see that they are forcing this rotation. So these guys are solving for money. They're solving for player valuation and profit. That is why they are forcing people like Tosin to play.
Because they need to retain the value of the player.
You need to retain the value. Because why is Tosin playing a game against Arsenal when we are losing? Why is he coming on? Yeah, but that is not winning football. You are solving for money. That's not winning football. There was a reason when Maresca played him against Leeds and he did that rubbish he did. Every Chelsea fan knew that that was going to be Tosin's last Premier League start for the rest of the season. Unless injuries crippled everybody, that was going to be his last Premier League start. Every Chelsea fan knew. That was like sure odds to bet, right? But when they are pressuring him, you have to play him again. You have to bring him on. Like, when you start affect, do you know how crazy it is for ownership to be affecting match day lineup? No, do you know how maddening that is?
Next level. I get the health part, but the ownership part, that's crazy.
That health part, the line is, it's an independent medical team. It is not. It is put there by the ownership, and the ownership controls the decisions they make. We are not stupid here now. Like, we went to school. We are not stupid. When you reach that stage, you are. This is why Enrique did not choose the Chelsea job. He knew, because ownership sacking Tuchel because of he did not respond to WhatsApp message. Are you people crazy? They are nuking the team. And that's why when they sacked Maresca, it wasn't about Maresca. You've set the project back 2 years. You've set the project back 2 years. Like, all you needed to do after winning the Club World Cup was very, 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 very simple. Especially when Levi Cole got his injury. There were two signings that we needed. Only two.
I have a bunch of questions for this thing, but I feel like it'll drag on this, it'll drag this conversation on.
That's fine.
I think we need to have this conversation. Well. Because things I wrote down, especially about like Maresca.
I have many, many things left unsaid. But let me finish this part. There were only two signings I think they should have made. Only two that were necessary. He would have just replaced Colwill with Bastoni. He's a young defender, fits the model. Even if it's not Bastoni, at least that profile. High-profile centre-back that will not take too long to adjust. And somebody like Osimhen, who was also 25, 26. Yeah. It's the age model. Although the wages part, I feel like something could have been worked out there. And that was all we needed to become a serious team in the league. Because in any one-off game, of course, Chelsea can dance with the best. But to Bastoni be consistent...
Bastoni would be a really good signing.
That was all. And you didn't need to get that because... You only needed to get that because Cole will go on ACL. Now you're banking on him coming back and being on that same level. That's very stupid. People recovering from ACLs and being on the same level is a miracle. It is a miracle. It's not the norm. It is a miracle. There are countless examples. Zlatan came back well. But even at Chelsea, there are people that didn't come back the same. Hudson-Odoi, Loftus-Cheek, they were never the same.
You had a lot at Arsenal.
Yeah, they are just never the same. Like, you are banking on this guy coming back to give you that same level. And it's not true. It's just not the norm. You should have bought Bastoni. Let this man do his work. You should have bought Osimhen. These are young players. And then supplement them with these squad players, Esugo, Estevao. Yeah, Estevao was always going to come anyways. Estevao, Andre Santos, that come. Just supplement them and just keep going. We should be second or third in the league. Maybe even winning the league. Who knows if the thing really goes well. But now you've crippled the manager. Now he has to find solutions with a 19-year-old Josh Achimpong or Chaloba. Let's move on.
Anyway, yeah. The game, though, honestly, I don't think I feel like the game was very, very, very weird, especially like both teams just being very, very wasteful in midfield and everything. It looked like we took control of it when we scored the second goal because of Sanchez being very kind and generous to us.
Very generous giver.
I actually expect us to go on and like make the game easy. But all of a sudden, I'm not sure. I think our defense looked on us now, at least from what we've seen this season so far. very, very. When Gennaro came on, our fullbacks showed that, of course, because he moved Timba to the left because of
injuries
to Skelly, injuries to Hincapié, injuries to
Calafiori.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Timba was good, but he looked like someone that has not been playing on that left side for a while.
It was, I think, personally, Estevao won that 60-40. Like,
I think so. I think
he had got, he got him sometimes. Like, it was a good duo for two of them. Like,
I actually did not enjoy seeing Timba there, especially even with build up, because he's right.
Oh, yeah, we build up. I don't, yeah.
He had to turn to pass. It just looked annoying to me.
But would you rather Luis Kelly there? I don't think he's on form.
I don't think I prefer Timba there, of course.
Yeah, so I think the coach had to do what he had to do there. So, yeah.
Ben White looked decent, but not the level that Timba has shown on that same side. Yes. I just think defensively we looked a bit weak. Gennaro came on, scored two bangers.
When this is how bad the Sanchez performance was, because that first goal, I kind of was waiting for referee's whistle. Surely there was a foul or something there. Also, that goal should have been offside, and I will explain. Only because Haaland got that.
What, my brain went to the same exact place.
Yep, exactly. That goal should have been offside. Which is why when Arsenal fans complain about referee, I'm always like, hey, you people.
I disagree with Haaland one. I 100% disagree.
Yeah, but I'm just in keeping it consistent. I think that should have been offside. I think that should have been offside. No, that's not to say that Arsenal didn't deserve to win the game. No.
I get your point. If Haaland own should have been offside, then that one
should have been offside. Yeah.
But I don't think Haaland was offside. I think that those referees goofed. I think they goofed big time.
The referees I was watching today were just terrible. Like Simon Hooper, whatever his name, he was all blowing rubbish. But he was not as bad as the Ghana one. He was definitely not as bad as that idiot. That Nilarian guy, like, whatever.
I feel like us now has become very uncomfortable with being comfortable. I don't, like, we don't like running away with things. I don't get it. That's why I don't believe that we're running away with this league.
I don't know, like,
this game shouldn't have been a 3-2 game. I shouldn't have been nervous at the end, especially Chelsea looked deflated after we scored the third one.
Yeah, but they were Chelsea at home now, the fans would get on them now. They were not going to just die like that now.
That's fair, but I feel like they were there for the taking.
There for the taking because, yes, first of all, everybody predicted an Arsenal win, and rightly so. We were crippled with injuries throughout the whole, like, the lineup to begin with. And there's no Reece James, no Palmer, no Caicedo, like, no striker, no Delap. Like, just everybody that, there was no even Malo Gusto safe. Like, everybody that should have been there wasn't there. So it was an obvious Arsenal win. But I guess we'll see. We'll see at the Emirates. If we can get some of these players back. Maybe, hopefully, Palmer can play an Arsenal game this season. Maybe something can happen. But it's not even about this game. I feel like the sporting directors, the ownership, they've nuked the season. They've just nuked, tanked the season for no reason. No reason at all. Yeah, but Di Matteo came in, different strokes now. Came in with experienced players. Di Matteo came in with experienced players. Players that are seasoned veterans of Champions League that had been to Champions League final and had lost. Like, they were seasoned players in that team. The seasoned players we have are the ones that have won Conference League and Club World Cup.
World Cup.
Yeah, but that's not enough. That's not enough. They just tanked the season, and now they brought this whatever this nigga's name is.
I surprise you. I
coming
I
to speak here. English, only speaking English, up and down, English.
I saw Pedro play Strasbourg games, and they play brave football.
Well, so. They play brave football. So expect Chelsea to go back to the mistakes that we had in the beginning of Maresca era. Expect Chelsea to do all those things. I don't know, man. It's just very annoying right now. So
anyway,
good win Arsenal. You guys played well.
We are chugging along.
Deserved victory.
We're chugging along. We'll see. it's funny because it's mostly our old soldiers who are doing it for us these days. Mm-hmm. The new signings, I guess we'll see. Hopefully they kick on as a Yorker and everybody else. But at least the old heads are doing their thing. So that's keeping us afloat at the moment. Yeah. But anyway, my you have signed Carrick. As their new manager. I didn't see interim on his job title, but apparently he's an interim manager. I would have liked someone like Tobi to actually speak on that. But I know he and Ole, he went head-to-head with Ole for the job, which is funny because I think he was Ole's assistant previously.
Yeah, him, interim. McKenna,
yeah.
Who else? Darren Fletcher himself too. Was Fletcher there? No.
I know
McKenna...
And Carrick was there for
Carrick
sure.
Carrick was there for sure. Let me see. All these assistants.
Yeah, but it's interesting that Ole lost against his assistants.
I had this conversation with Manu Fan, and he was seeding that they sacked Amorim. Not because of Amorim, just because it's basically saying there was like progress because the level of the squad is very bad and they are producing based on what they have. And he was like, oh yeah, should let him finish the season and all that. And I'm like, I think it's a 50-50 thing, right? I think that there was progress with Amorim, like very slow progress, but there was progress. But they are also not completely wrong in sacking him because that win percentage. There's a thing about these project managers that, oh, give them their 4 years. No, you only give them they win enough to allow them to get to those 4 years or 5 years. There has to be like, you have to also give the board something to work with. You can't just say it's a 4 year or 5 year project or a 3 year project, and then you're losing games on. He had like, I think he had 14 wins in 14 months, like one win every month. Like, that's.
I personally think if they were seeing based on results, they should have sacked him earlier on. That Grimsby was a good excuse.
No. I think they shouldn't have sacked him then. That was too early. Really? That was too early. That was really too early. I think they needed... I think when... I was saying this, right? And I can't shake this feeling that when they won... What game did they win when Dorgu played on the wing? He wasn't technically a wing back. Yeah, when they won that game, right? I think the board started looking differently. They're like, so you tweak this thing a bit to a back four and you got results. That means you could have been gotten results since.
Switch back.
Yeah. Like, and that's when they were like, something don't look good. Yeah. Don't look good. That means you could have won some games to get by these results and then later on implement your ideas. Or when you get better players, keep implementing.
I didn't hear they pressured him to do that, actually.
Yeah, they did.
They pressured him, did it, and they won.
And that's when they were like...
I'll be honest, though. I feel like they won that game because of how bad Newcastle were and finished.
That's true. That's true. But the non-footballing people always see the result. They don't see the nuances behind it. But, so...
And him switching back three did not help his case.
I think that sacking him mid-season now should have gives them a better chance to actually go and get a quality manager. Like, now you are fast tracking your project now. So I would have said this is the time to go and court, because now you've built the squad to be a back three squad, because Cunha is not a touchline winger. Neither is Mbwemo. The only winger in the club right now is Ahmad, right? So this squad is tailor-made, for better or for worse, to a back three. You have to start quoting Alonso. You have to start quoting Glasner. You have to start quoting Thomas Tuchel if England flop. Like, you have to start talking to these managers. Like, Alonso cannot just leave Madrid and you're not on the phone with him. Like, okay, we'll give you time to rest, get yourself together.
That's not happening. He's Liverpool links. He's Liverpool.
Yeah, I know. But
I think
like,
is someone that they
Tuchel, Glasner. Okay, what of Glasner? Glasner is there. Start talking to him. Give him better tools. He makes United competitive.
I don't put my money on Glasner.
Why not? Why not?
I think I've seen a lot of like just recent history of like all this, like what's the one that came to Chelsea before before
Poch?
Maresca. No, not after Poch. Brighton, the Brighton guy, my bad. The Brighton guy before. Yeah, Potter, all these like small team managers going on to bigger clubs.
But that's not the I disagree, because Glasner's rep is not from, I mean, now it's from Crystal Palace. His rep is from Frankfurt, Eintracht Frankfurt, when he won the Europa League. That's where he made his kick from. That's not, it's, I know not now.
Not Man U.
Frankfurt is not Man U, but like, I think that he will do well there. And if that's not the case, and if it's not him, that's also fine. Like, I'm saying you have to find managers that can play.
What were you even saying?
If you get a back four manager now, right?
Yeah.
Manager that is primarily a back four, you have to like give him the tools to succeed.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about a club that signed different pedigrees. They've tried the young manager, they've tried the Mourinho, they've tried the old head, the Dutch guys.
Van Gaals. Yeah.
To be honestly, at this point, they could go for me, sir. But I mean, coaching wise, of course, last time it's not a bad shot. They might be struggling this season, but that probably has more to do with their depth and everything.
Well, this is
this season.
I don't know if they've. I don't know if they have. I'm not even going to lie. I know it seems like they've tried. They say there's a thing, they've tried every type of manager, right? They've tried pedigree coaches like Van Gaal, Mourinho. They've tried the possession managers like
young up and coming,
young Ten Hags and all that. But I mean, this is Ineos. This is the Ineos era. It's a new era.
True.
It's the Ineos era. Have you tried?
They can make their own mistakes now.
They should be allowed to make their own mistakes. There's Tuchel. There's Glasner. Man, oh man. This Alonso thing is so funny to me, because like, you won't give him, if you promise him that he can build his team properly, I think he will go. Like, why wouldn't he go? Because he played for Liverpool that year. They'll be fine.
I mean, I guess slot. I don't people are saying we're floating the slot Alonso to Liverpool thing. I don't see that happening.
If Slot finishes top four, they're not letting him go.
Yes, he just won the league. And
yeah, he has credit in the bank.
Yeah, and Alonso, you could usually mirror their situations in the sense that one had a brilliant season previously and they're struggling this season for maybe different reasons.
And I don't even think Alonso had a bad season. His game rate is the same rate as Hansi Flick's first 34 games.
This, whatever happened does not affect his reputation.
At all. Madrid is a sick club. The player power in that club is mad. That Mbappe that is doing Mugabe work, he's doing dictatorship. His own job is to be sacking managers. That's his own job.
I don't know if I want to blame Mbappe too much.
I'm blaming him. Why is the manager telling you to come and do God of Honor and you're doing no? Who are you? Every day you are doing these things. You are not knowing. Your time is so funny. It will be a time when you are not the hottest guy in the world. God help you. You have not gotten enough accolades and trophies and enough individual accolades. You will see where they will rank you in football. When they start ranking you in tier 3, tier 2, because you are not going to be a Zidane level or Ronaldo phenomenal level or a Ronaldo level, because those guys won Champions Leagues. Those guys won Ballon d'Or. Those guys won, like, okay, you won World Cup at 18. Okay, fine, you have that one, right? But there are other places in your club football that are missing. When those happen, then you start seeing.
Time is actually ticking.
Ticking for him, and he thinks it's funny.
That's some Pelé level shit. But ever since then, he hasn't won anything of note since then.
Yeah, like,
it's almost 28, 27 now.
No, they play. Be doing Mugabeism. One of, and of course, trust Madrid is the club that is nobody's bigger than the club. One day, you'll get sick and tired of the bullshit. And one day, you'll be out the door. Then we'll now see what's going on.
Well, man, I heard stuff that apparently
he wanted him to stay and all that. He could, because he was playing now, if Alonso tried to bench him, will he bench?
Yeah.
So Shebi, he tried to bench Vini, and Vini threw his toys out the pram.
That's where his problem started from. You see, that time I was talking about that Vini's apology, not mentioning Alonso. I think on this podcast, like, I felt there was something fishy about that. I don't think they ever fixed their relationship.
I'll give you that one. You called that one. I'll give you that one. And that was...
it wasn't just Vinny. I've seen so many reports that it really wasn't just Vinny. Maybe the Mbappe thing might be a thing.
We need to start asking the Mbappe questions. Why? Okay, he scored 30. Like, it's like that Ronaldo season. He was scoring goals, but the whole team was not playing well. Mm-hmm. The same thing is happening to Madrid. Everybody starts are down. Everybody, only you. Because the ball, the team is funneled towards you. So, of course, you are getting the goals. You are getting the shots. You are getting the assists and all that. The game flows through you. But when you're not there, the game flows through everybody. Everybody eats. Bellingham eats. Vinny eats.
And they could look more balanced when he's not there.
When he's not there, like, yeah, the same thing was happening to Ronaldo, that Man U season, that they ended up finishing third. Like, they were like, oh, Ronaldo, his goals are not a problem. You're not seeing, like, with this kind of players, the ball has to go to them. If you look at them and don't give them the ball, it's an issue.
The season before that, they finished second. That's the
right? Yeah. Huh?
That's the only season now. When the Greenwood, Rashford and Kuhl were doing their thing and they finished second, the next season, they bought Ronaldo.
No, so the season that Ronaldo did his interview, Piers Morgan.
But that was a Ragnick now. That was Ten Hag.
They finished third.
That was Ten Hag.
They finished third and won Carabao. That was the season that they were asking. That was the season that Arsenal finished second and we're having debates whether Man U had a better season than Arsenal. That was the argument. I just feel as though the conversation needs to be had about Mbappe, guy. The whole team cannot be playing bad and only you playing well. It's because the team is funneling the ball through you. That's why your shit is elevated. The whole team is funneling it through you. Whereas when you're not there, there's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why this treble didn't work until Mbappe left. There's a reason why it didn't work till Mbappe left.
See, at the end of the day, teams are what win. All this era of individual players, I think it only works for people of talent of like Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah.
If you're not that level, I think it just starts parting for somebody. Honestly, and I think the reason it didn't work for Ronaldo at that point, Ronaldo was old.
It was old. Like, the whole thing is going through you and we have to cater to you. Like, a midfielder look at you now. If I don't pass the ball, you throw your hands. And Mbappe does that. You throw his hands, you start walking. Now we have to feed you. Sorry, bro. Sorry. Like, conversations need to be had. Conversation needs to be had with Vinny too. This rubbish that he's doing.
Because let's say if Vinny, like, accorded himself properly, maybe there was a chance that could work. But imagine the two biggest stars being on the same wavelength. That might actually have worked.
Now they lost to Abba Celeste, whatever. They lost there. You brought Abeloa. I was just like, looking at little people, just super. I was funny.
But I heard Abeloa is a very strong guy. That he,
man,
he very all of that.
Yeah, now go and enjoy now. Ah, no, Allah. We day here now. Sure, we know they go anywhere. We are here. We will be here.
That's it. At the point where Madrid stop attracting the biggest stars, I see them trending towards a Man U direction right now, honestly. Eventually.
Well, they'll be fine as long as Perez is there. Yeah, that's the real...
Because they'll always still get the best
player. As long as Don Perez is in town. When that man steps down, it will be like that newspaper where they show Hitler dead. That guy leaves.
They're not going, they'll always remain second fiddle in that league as long as Barca has a good season. If Barca has a good season, not even great, they'll more than always likely win the league. Which is the thing. That's the thing.
That I don't understand. They have more leagues than Barca though.
Not in recent history. How many leagues have they won in the past 10 years? You know, like Mourinho.
Yeah, but their history is enough to pad them now. Their ancient history is enough to allow them to sleep at night now.
21st century, this one. You're using basketball of those leagues. I feel like it's because of that consistent, clear style of play that they have, that philosophy they have, that I think Madrid is most trying to copy, which is what Xabi Alonso was supposed to come in and do. Instead of the whole, like...
I don't know if he was trying to copy them. I just thought they needed tactical direction.
Like a clear tactics in terms of, like, this is our identity. Because Alonso was supposed to come in and get rid of that. Yeah, players, you guys are ballers, do your thing that Ancelotti was known for, apparently. Yeah. He was supposed to come in and give them an identity, a clear way of playing.
But my own problem was that, why wasn't the board
supportive of Alonso?
No, that's the problem.
That's my real question. Like, I get the players, right? They will rebel against like anything like relatively new, right? And the reports that are coming out were very stupid. They're like, oh, they were paying too much attention to detail. I was like, this is the stupidest shit I've ever heard. He paying too much attention to detail is not a bad thing. Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever read. My question is why the board were not supportive of him. Like, why? He lost to Barca, yes. But he also had beaten Barca earlier in the season. Like he just came. Like, why are you guys not supporting him? You don't believe in him?
When I noticed we aren't changing. I mean, to be honest, in terms of how they played, I did not see overall, besides that early phase, I did not see any difference between them and Ancelotti this season and last season.
But I think... go ahead.
When I saw that Vinny thing happen and the board not come out and support the manager, I knew that it was doomed to fail.
It was always doomed to fail. Like, why would you be picking... I understand Vinny has won you this thing, but like, he has not been scoring for how many games? He's off form. The manager has to take him out for a bit. The manager has to... He's off form. Ah, bruh. These clubs, man, let them just be running. Now, their club, maybe they just run and they go. Like, Chelsea, you know, I guess United at this point, Madrid, let them just carry their club, they go. Just do what you need to do, bro.
Yeah. Anyway.
What you're doing is not football.
I think the last conversation I had to have was as we watched Man City against Newcastle. And no more. Maybe I might eat my words about Semenyo.
Why? You thought it wasn't going to be a good fit?
No, I just thought it was just adding more water to your already filled cup anyway. I don't think there was much difference. But I see the different thing he actually adds. Especially, I wrote about one thing. I don't think he's going to come and start benching Duke like that. I feel like their right wing is probably weaker than their left wing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably going to be there, play there most times. Maybe sometimes, maybe if they take out Doku, they will put him to the left. But I see Doku, Semenyo, and Haaland playing a lot. Especially, that adds a lot of directness on both flanks and actually would help out Haaland a lot too.
My question is, where does Mamouche fit in this when he comes back?
That's the problem. Now they have too much depth.
Where does Mamouche fit? He might
need to go find another club if he wants to start.
Yeah, because there's a lot of... I'm hearing, okay, Oscar Bob might leave too. Like, they are very top heavy right now. They have a lot of like floating pieces, you know, all in a bid to replace De Bruyne.
The other guy might leave too. The other guy,
Savinho.
Yeah, Savinho. He's been but he's been disappointing.
He has been. He can call him a failure. There's no this thing. And Doku's stats are actually criminal too. Like, I know he looks good, but Doku's stats. His end product stats are criminal. Like,
he's been a bit better this season.
How many goals?
I think he has some assists though.
No. Doku starts this. I think he's been a bit better this season. Doku has like, no, this is EFL Cup. Let's go and cook this guy.
Let's go and cook this guy.
He has 4 assists this season.
Yeah, he's been a little bit better.
4 assists. 1 goal, 4 assists in Premier League, brother. 1 goal, 4 assists, brother. Guy. Those are... If Martinelli gives those numbers, Arsenal fans will cut his head.
But that is where Semenyo comes in now on the right. He can actually, he's very, very productive. Like,
yeah, and that's why I think he won't be like Grealish. Like, he won't be forced to. He's there for his for his end product. So
his movement is very good. Like, I saw the connection between Doku and him, actually.
But, yeah, you mean for the second goal with Cherki?
Yeah, he could have assisted 2 goals if. Was it 2? No, that wasn't him. But he assisted the first at least. I'm not sure if he would have assisted the second that got cancelled. The one that they say Haaland was offside for.
Yeah.
But they seem to already have a pretty good connection, which is...
I think it is good that they did it. They were beginning to get steel. Like, they had 3 draws on the bounce, like they were in the league. They were beginning to get, like, steel. So I think that helps Pep refresh the team.
Yeah.
Rodri's trying to get back up to pace. I think it's a good, that's how you know a club that is serious. By January, they identify one. You don't make too many changes that January because, you know.
And then one by skills, you buy another one. Simple.
Exactly. That's why he's the greatest coach in the, greatest coach in the world.
Anyway. But,
yeah, well, we'll see. It's looking like City Arsenal for the this thing so far. But as a Chelsea fan, I believe in my club. Bring on the second leg.
It's possible. We let you guys come back. 3-2. 3-2 is not something I'm...
Yeah, it's just, it's literally a 1-0 deficit.
It's 1-0. So
yeah, it's a 1-0 deficit.
I was comfortable.
If Chelsea score first again at the Emirates, everything done is equal now.
We hope that's not what happens.
Well, you hope that's what not happen. I hope that's what happens.
Anyway, broski, it's been a nice conversation. Do you have any hot takes? Any?
I'm in my mourning period right now.
Yeah, man. But...
Too many L's have been chopping since the end of last year, man.
I'm about to go a month more, at least for Nigeria.
Yeah, man, at least you're mourning one. Me, I'm mourning two.
All right, man.
Drink some tea, lie down, and don't make any sudden movements.
you could be all right, don't worry. Rosinha will you know, give you small happiness.
Brother, that guy. This guy like to talk English, left and right.
He likes talking like a
likes guy. To talk. Ah, oh, brother. Oh. Anyways.
Wasn't he a journalist or he was a pundit or something like that?
Yeah, he was on Sky Sports. He was on Sky Sports breaking down stuff. I don't need all that, bro. Give me, put my wings in the bag, bro. I don't need talk.
All right, man.
In the bag, bro.
All right, guys.
Well, it was real. Let's catch up on when the Premier League returns.
On Sunday, we'll discuss again. But yeah, guys, keep watching. You know, keep subscribing and share with your friends and make sure you turn on those notifications.
Yep.
Yes.
Go five aside.
Come on.
Get up on inside.
All day.
Five aside. Go five aside. Woo! Oh, yeah.